Good morning. Welcome to the Geula Mashiach, the Mashiach Matters class. We are now holding in the middle of Parshas Vayera, the story of the rescue of Lot. Obviously, this is a very, very, very Geula Diga story, and we have to learn it very carefully. We're learning over here in the last class, in the last two, three classes, we had already discovered that when Avram Avinu had his Bris Milah, that was already the first, Avram arrived already to Mashiach. He arrived already to the days of the redemption, because the inyan of the Bris Milah is to remove that which is clogging, that which is blocking, that which is blocking godliness from being revealed in the world. Once Avram Avinu had his own Bris Milah, that means he had already made the breakthrough. He has already arrived to Yemos HaMashiach. The fact that the rest of the world was not there yet, okay, but once someone is there already, the rest is going to follow. So basically, the door opened up for Mashiach at that moment. And therefore, right after this, we find the next story that Torah tells us immediately is about the great secret that was revealed. And that is that we know that Mashiach's neshama is kind of embedded in creation from the very, very beginning of time. Mashiach is one of the things that Hashem had created before they created the world. As we know that it says seven things were here before the world, and one of them is the name of Mashiach. So Mashiach precedes creation, and the world would not be able to, since Mashiach is the entire purpose of the creation, Mashiach's neshama has to be in the world from the very beginning of time. But it's hidden, it's concealed, it's stuck, it's in the klipa, it's in the unholy. It's going to take a whole journey to reveal that light in the world. Now, a major pivotal advance in Mashiach's neshama being actualized in the world was now going to happen in this event, because as we mentioned last week, Soyd Hashem liyareyav, the secret of God is to those who fear Him, and the Medrash says that that's referring to Avram Avinu when he had his Bris Milah. The Milah itself is a secret. You're removing that which is covering on Havaya, on the Yudke Vavke that is imprinted on a person's body. And the Yudke Vavke, Hashem's presence in the world, is kind of a secret, because the world, nature, conceals, to reveal that secret. When Avram Avinu peeled away the layer of nature, and he revealed the godliness in his own body, and via him and through him, ultimately as a Jew, is going to reveal the godliness in all of the world, at that time, the secret of Mashiach's neshama was also revealed. What is the secret? Matsasi, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Matsasi David Avdi, I found David my servant. And Chazal asked the question, Heichen Matsasi, where did I find him? And Chazal say, Bisadaim in Sadaim. Out of all places, the place that is the most corrupted, the place that is the lowest of places, it's precisely over there that Hashem finds the sparkling jewel, Mashiach Tzidkenu's neshama. This amazing, sparkling jewel of Mashiach's neshama is found dafka in Sadaim. So that's the idea of Matsasi, right? So now, at this point, once Avram did his Bris Milah, Hashem identified to Avram where Mashiach is. And Avram became aware that it is in Sadaim, and it's time now to rescue Lot from Sadaim. And it was like an 11th hour rescue. It was at the last minute. 2 weeks ago, we had a whole long discussion how the Malachim weren't sure if they should rescue Lot or not. It wasn't that clear. You needed to also reveal the secret of the halacha that women, Moabite women, who are going to be a descendant from Lot, are allowed to join the Jewish people. That halacha also needed to be revealed. Okay, that's what basically we learned in the earlier classes. Last week, we mentioned that when Avram Avinu begins to plead and Davin, and for Hashem to save the city of Sadaim. Of course, I'll be pshat on the simple level. Avram Avinu was davening to save the people that were living there. On a much deeper level, when Avram is saying, Chalila lecha, it is chas v'shalom, it is terrible for you, God, for you to kill tzaddik im Russia, to kill a tzaddik with a Russia. Avram knew there was no tzaddikim in Sadaim. Sadaim was a thoroughly rotten place. What Avram Avinu meant was that there is a neshama over there, that there's a person over there who's both a tzaddik and a Russia. Externally, he is a Russia. Internally, he is a tzaddik. And that is light, who is a Russia, but embedded in him is the spark of Mashiach, and that has to be saved. Last week we mentioned that when Avram Avinu asks for these particular numbers of tzaddikim, he says if there is 50 tzaddikim, 45 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim, 30 tzaddikim, 20 tzaddikim, and finally 10 tzaddikim, we explained in last class the significance of the numbers. I'm just going to say one little chazara, one small thing, is that all those numbers that Avram Avinu davens for equals 195, which is the exact gematria of the word haketz. So Avram Avinu was really davening for the ketz, the one who's going to bring about the end of days, the ketz, which is Mashiach Tzidkenu. Okay, so now let's take a look at the actual story of the light, of the rescue of light, and let's see where we see Mashiach literally jumping out from almost every pasuk. You can see it's like the Torah is really described. And obviously, since we're dealing with Mashiach, it's a hidden element. It's all going to be beremez. It's going to be found in a lot of gematrias and in small little nuances in the words that the Torah is narrating a story. But if you're careful in the words, you realize that the narration is kind of a clumsy narration. It's a lot of the words are just written not in the best, clearest way to write. If you would hand this in your English class as an essay, you would flunk the test with these grammatical things. So the Torah is dafka doing that, because as the Torah is saying a regular story, it's telling you also a hidden story. And the hidden story has to be hidden in the various different mispronunciations or things that are inconsistent statements, because that's what it wants you to alert you to take a look a little careful and see what's beneath, what's under the pasuk. Okay. So the pasuk says that the two malachim, vayevoyu shnei hamalachim. So we're holding in, very good, we're holding in Perek Yotes, in Parshas Bereish, in Parshas Vayera, in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yotes. So pasuk Aleph. Now, interesting, I do want to mention something which I didn't mention last week. Right at the beginning, when the malachim left, when the angels left Avram's house, and they went and they were looking towards Sadaim, which is earlier, it says in Pasuk Tezayin, this is still in Perek Yotches, it says, Vayukumu mishama anashim, the people got up from there, Vayashkifu al pnei Sadaim, and they looked on the face of Sadaim. Now, something occurred to me right now, which, again, I don't like to usually say my own things, but it just popped out at me. We're talking about things popping out. It says, Vayukumu mishama anashim, the men got up from there. Now, if you think about it, the word Vayakumu is an interesting thing, because, you know, initially they visited Avram Avinu. Then they were going to visit Lot. They were going to Sodom. In any case, that should not be considered a Vayakumu. That should not be considered a getting up. That should be considered a descent. Because, first of all, from Avram to Lot, that's a descent. That's not an elevation. Avram is a tzaddik, and Lot is not such a tzaddik. So that's a very big descent. Number two, they're going from Avram's tent, a place of which is a little Beis Hamikdash, and where are they going to? They're going to Sodom, which is a place of the worst wickedness, that Hashem had to turn it over and destroy it. So that's another reason why it shouldn't say Vayakumu, they're getting up. And thirdly, by Avram's house, they were involved in a chesed. They came to do kindness. They came to visit Avram. They came to heal Avram. Over here, they're going to do an act of destruction. And that, too, is a necessary action, but definitely not an inyan of elevation. It's not going higher. It's a negative thing. It needs to be done, but it's a negative thing. So why does the Torah say, Vayokumu Misham? They're leaving out. It should say, Vayelchu. If anything, it's to say, Vayerdu Misham, they descended. And the answer is, the mission that they were going to do now is a much higher mission than what they did before. Vayakumu mishama anashim, the men are now getting up, which means they're going up to this is the highest mission possible that any malach can be involved in. And that is the seeing to the Mashiach bringing Mashiach into this world. There's no greater mission than that. Any Bechal that tells us to us that anything we can do to hasten the Geula, that's top priority. There's nothing in a person's life that comes before it can be as great. That's like the highest mission possible. Vayukumu mishama anashim, the people got up from Avram. As great as it was by Avram, they rose up higher. And then it says, Vayashkifu al pnei Sadaim. It says they gazed, they looked to Sadaim. So the words pnei Sadaim also mean in front of Sadaim. If you take the letter Sadaim, Samach Dalet Mem, and you go in front of those letters, pnei means what's before those letters. So before the letters of Sadaim, before the Samach, is a nun. The letter before Samach is a nun. The letter before Dalid is a gimel. The letter before Mem is a lamid. So you have nun, gimel, lamid. If you switch the order of those letters, you have the word lamid, gimel, dalid, which spells ligan, which means that when these men went and they looked at Sadaim, Vayashkif, what does it mean? They looked deeply. They looked at the neshama of David HaMelech, meaning they looked legan, they looked where neshamas. Neshamas are in Gan Eden. The fact that obviously David's neshama is in potential, embedded in Sadaim, but in the core neshama of Mashiach is in Gan Eden. Vayashkifu al pnei Sadaim, they looked in front of Sadaim, they looked to the higher realms of Sadaim. They looked legan, to Gan Eden, which over there, they're seeing this very, very great a jewel of a neshama that needs to be rescued. Okay. Now it says, Vayavayu shnei ha-malachim, we're going to Pasuk Yutes. So now, bearing that in mind, the two malachim arrived to Sadaim, be'erev in the evening. Veloit yeshev b'shar Sadaim. Now, Yeloit was sitting at the entrance of Sadaim. Excuse me. Vayar Loit saw. Vayakam lekrasam, and he got up to greet them. So he went out towards them. Vayishtachu apayim artza, and he bowed down to his face to the ground. And you see that Loit now goes into this lengthy thing to try to do whatever he can to invite these guests. Now, inviting guests in Sadaim was the most dangerous thing a person can do. I mean, this warranted the death penalty. As we see later what happened. The mob came and ready to attack the house. Loit, and it's not Stamnet, Loit's very own daughter was, Loit had made already a tremendous sacrifice. His very own daughter was murdered. The most brutal type of death she had because she fed poor people. This was like a capital offense. This was like the worst thing possible. This was considered treason if you took care of the poor. So as we know that Lloyd's daughter fed a poor man, and they took her and they smeared her with honey and they put her out in front of a beehive, and that's how she died, the most excruciatingly painful death. So Lloyd knows very much the dangers involved in inviting and taking care of guests. Here, Lloyd suddenly becomes this big tzaddik, and he himself is running. Now, Rashi says he was used to from Avram's house, but still, you would wonder. Loit had already left Avram Avinu. It says, Vayiparid, he separated from him. He said, and Rashi says earlier, he said, I don't want Avram and I don't want his God. He went down to the city of Sadaim. He's living amongst these wicked people. He's influenced by them. And suddenly Loit becomes a tzaddik, and Loit doesn't know that these are malachim. He doesn't know that they're coming to save his life. He doesn't know any of that. So this is a regular afternoon. He sees two men, and suddenly he's going crazy, and you'll see that the men don't want to come. He invites them to his house. The men don't want to come, and Loit is pestering them. Vayiftzar b'ma'oid. He's bothering them very, very, very much. They should come to his house. So what really is happening over here? And it says that Loit has to tell them, Rashi brings this, Loit has to tell the people, go circumvent. Don't go directly to my house. Go in a circular way. Go in a roundabout way, so no one should know that you're coming up to my house. So you got to wonder, why is Lloyd doing all of this just to invite guests? It doesn't make any sense. So the Be'er Maim Chaim, Reb Chaim of Chernovitz, great Chassidish, the great Chassidish Rabbeim, says something really, really interesting about what we're talking about right now. It says by Esav, with Yitzchak Avinu, it says that by Esav that he that Yitzchak loved Esav, kitzayid bepiv, because he had, he hunted with his mouth. So Rashi explains what that means is that he deceived Yitzchak with his, he had a very sly tongue, and he would always try to speak words of piety and making himself like he's a real Yerushamayim and a God-fearing man and a very religious person, but really was all deceptive. That's what Rashi says. But there is a deeper meaning, which the Arizal says. The Arizal says that the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav, ki tzayed bepiv, because he had something, tzayed means he had something trapped in him, in his mouth. What was trapped in Esav? What was trapped in Esav was he had neshamas of big gerim. Great souls were going to come from Esav. We know Shmaya and Avtalion, who were the teachers of Hillel and Shammai, they come, they were descendants of Esav. Ivadia, the ger, who he was a ger from Edomite ger. And other great tzaddikim, Remeir, I think, is a grandson of, is an ultimate descendant of Esav. So you have these very, very, very powerful neshamas that Esav has. Yitzchak, when he looked at a person, didn't just see him. Yitzchak saw all the generations. Yitzchak saw these sparkling diamonds in the neshama of Esav. Not only that, he brings from the Arizal, when it says kitzayed bepiv, was an amazing thing. When Esav spoke to Yitzchak, it wasn't him speaking, it was these neshamas speaking to him. Because they were excited to speak to Yitzchak. They were drawn to the holiness. So it was actually not even Esav. Esav speaks very vulgar, very lowly. It's interesting, Yitzchak never heard Esav. Yitzchak only heard these neshamas. You know, there's stories when there is a dibuk, when there is a dibuk that goes in, which means in a soul that gets stuck inside someone else. And then that soul speaks. You know, the stories, they even had one a couple of years ago. We hear the dibuk speaking of whether it's true or not. Some say, I don't know. But the concept is that you can actually hear a different voice speaking. When Esav spoke to Yitzchak, it wasn't Esav's voice. It was the neshamas of Remeir, Shmaya, and Avtalion that spoke to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak loved that. That was a holy neshamas. The same thing the Be'er Maim Chaim says happened over here. When Hashem wanted to rescue, excuse me just one moment. I'm going to get a little water from there. Thank you. In the kitchen, it's just a... I'm still here, just waiting for a moment. Give me a minute. Thank you. It's an important share, so I'm getting stuck. Okay. So when Hashem wanted to rescue Mashiach's neshama, which is in Sadaim, which is in Light, the Light really needed a schus. And the schus that Light needed was he needed to have this merit of Achnasas Orchim. But Light himself, and that's actually the antithesis. the total antithesis to why Sodom was deserving for destruction. You see, Sodom was being condemned and destroyed because of their lack of kindness and their cruelty that they had to each other. Now Lot is being rescued by virtue of David HaMelech, who's going to come from him. But still, since it's Lot doing it, Lot needs. There has to be some kind of a merit done right now that Lot should be able to be saved. And the merit that Lot was going to have was Achnasas Orchim. But Lot himself was not capable of doing it, or Lot wasn't going to do it. What happened was, the neshama of David HaMelech that was very, very deeply hidden inside of Lot suddenly surfaced inside Lot without him even knowing what's happening. This powerful neshama just suddenly rose, which was in a dormant state, suddenly now became activated. And it was what sensed the malachim coming, and it jumped up. And that's why you're finding Lot acting in such a strange way. Mamish mesiras nefesh. Total mesiras nefesh to do a mitzvah is because it was Moshiach doing that mesiras nefesh. It was David HaMelech doing that. That's why it says in the pasuk, you can see that it says Vayiftzar bam ma'oid. He pestered them in pasuk gimel, the first pasuk. I'm sorry, the first words in the pasuk. Vayiftzar bam, he pestered them ma'oid very much. The word bam, which means ma'oid, the word much, is the Be'er Mayim Chaim says, is Rosh HaTevis, Matsasi es David. I found David. Because it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Matsasi David Avdi, I found David, right? Matsasi es David, I found David. It's David's neshama that has just now surfaced inside Lot to get Lot, get to have this chesed and this kindness to invite them in. It's actually also hinted to the word ma'oid. Remember we said that Moshiach is called Adam. Adam Harishon, the Rosh HaTevis, we spoke about this many times, that the Rosh HaTevis of Adam, which is the quintessential man, is Adam David Moshiach. That means Adam is the first human being, David is in the middle of history, and finally in the end is Moshiach, and that's Adam. So Adam is really Mashiach, especially since, and it's interesting, we spoke about this, just an interesting idea, and that is that Adam was created Friday afternoon, Friday morning, and then he finally woke up and started being active in the afternoon. So therefore Friday, we're the Friday millennium right now. We're Friday afternoon right now. We entered already Friday afternoon. Now is when Mashiach starts being active openly in the world. Mamish now, as we are Friday, that's Adam, that's Mashiach. Now, if you take the word Adam and you rearrange the letters, you have the word Ma'od. And as we have discussed in earlier classes, Ma'od means much more than Adam. Adam is very high level, but Adam has a limit. Adam has a limit. Ma'od means very much, means limitless. Only when Mashiach is going to be revealed, then Adam, Mashiach, is going to be ma'oid, he's going to be endless, he's going to be very, very much. The light that he's going to bring to the world, the godliness, is going to be literally boundless. And that's why he's called ma'oid. And that's the interesting thing. Vayiftzar bam ma'oid. Who pestered the malachim? Who was begging the malachim? Ma'oid, the neshama of Mashiach, he was begging the malachim. He was saying, you know, come to me. So it says, vayasuru elav, and that's why it also continues, and it says, they turned to him. It says, Vayavoyu el Beisai, they came to his house. So when it says they came to his house, it doesn't mean they came to Lot's house. And of course it means that as well, but on the deeper level, it means they came to David HaMelech's house. And what is David HaMelech's house? What was special about David HaMelech in terms of history, Jewish history, besides him being the ultimate Jewish king? David HaMelech was the one who begins building the Beis HaMikdash. So when it says Vayavoyu el Beisai, they came to his house, means that they came to the Beis HaMikdash. They came to David's house. The Malachim weren't just going to Lot's house. And that's why it says Vayaslam Mishteh, they made a party, Umatzis Afa Vayachelu, when they ate. Now Malachim generally don't eat. They don't eat. Malachim don't have to eat. Now when they went to Avram Avinu just before, they ate. Now we can, it's Machlekes if they ate, but according to one opinion, they really ate. So we understand why. I mean, eating from Avram is Kedusha. When Avram prepares the food, when Sarah prepares the food, when Avram prepares the food, it's like on a whole different level. But they're not going to go eat by Lot's house. What does he mean they're eating? And the answer is, when they were eating, Vayachelu, they were eating from David. And therefore, and which we know, that David is the fourth level, is the in the divine chariot, we know there are three legs in Hashem, in the throne of Hashem. One leg is Avram, the other leg is Yitzchak, and the other one is Yaakov, and the third one is David. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David are the three legs of the Merkava. So since they had just eaten by Avram Avinu, which is one leg of the Merkava, now they went to eat Vayachelu, they ate in Loit, which is the other leg of the Merkava. So this wasn't just Stamazayin eating. So they were over here, they went, okay. Now, the Pasuk continues. The Pasuk continues, just give me one moment. The Pasuk continues. And it says, okay. Terem Yishkavu, he invites them in, right? Before they got a chance to go to sleep, Va'anche Ya'ir, and the people of this city, Anche Sedaim, the men of Sedaim, Nasabu Alabayas. It says in Pasuk Dalet, they all surrounded, the mob came, and the mob surrounded the house. Nasabu Alabayas. They surrounded the house. Minar Vadzakin, from young till old, Kala Am Mikatzeh. From everybody was there surrounding around the house. Now, why on the house? Obviously, the mob came because of the guest, and they came to hurt Loit. What does the Pasuk emphasize that they ganged up on the house? What is the emphasis over here in Asabu as they congregated or they gathered alabayas on the house? And the reason for that is that there's an important reason why the Pasuk is saying dafka alabayas. Because what they were really, really seeking to destroy was the house of David HaMelech, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, which is the house, which is going to be the ultimate, the residence of Hashem, that's what was bothering them. That's what the Pasuk is telling you, what was really perturbing them. Why they were really ganging up was not on Loit. What they were coming to fight was Alabayas. They were coming to harm the house, which is the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. That is what they were fighting against. And it's interesting, that's what's happening now. You know, when the whole UN yesterday, I think again, they sent out this condemnation about Israel, that Israel should, if any small, I think this Ban Ki-moon, whatever his name is, the guy from the UN, so now they're condemning Israel and saying that, you know, the tiniest little thing that you're trying to change the status quo on the Temple Mount, like you can't do that. This place is sacred to all religions. There's such a terror, there's such a fear about what's happening on that place because, again, even if consciously they don't know this, subconsciously the entire world is in turmoil right now because Mashiach is coming and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built momentarily on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Har Habayis, they sense it, and that's why it's the same idea. When it says over here that the people of Sedaim were Nasabu, I'm saying this is such an important pasuk, because when it says over here that the people of Sedaim were ganging up on the house, it means on the third base, on the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to destroy the Be'erel, so it would say Nasabu Aloit. Nasabu Alabayas, because they're coming on the Beis HaMikdash, similar to what's happening today, that the world is terrified of what's going to happen on the Temple Mount. They want to destroy what's happening Al Habayas, the house. Okay. Now they called out to Loit, and they said, where are the people that came to you? And then Loit goes out to them, whatever, and he closes the door. Then it says that he's begging them to please not harm the people. Fine. And then it says that they have this whole confrontation. And in Pasuk Tes it says, Vayiftzeru ba'ish b'loit. And Pasuk Tes says they were, so the people were begging. In other words, not begging. They were really, really, really demanding from Loit that he should hand over the guest. And here's an interesting diuk. The pasuk says they were pestering ba'ish beloit, in the man in Loit. Isn't that a strange word? Vayiftzeru beloit. They were begging Loit. What does it mean, vayiftzeru ba'ish beloit? Because what's really happening over here, they were fighting. They wanted to harm Ba'ish Beloit, the man that's inside light. Again, let's understand something. The forces of unholiness, their biggest enemy is Mashiach. Because when Mashiach comes, kaput, there's no more darkness in the world. So Vayiftzeru Ba'ish Beloit, they were fighting in the man that's inside light. And the astounding thing is, Ba'ish Beloit is the exact gematria as equals 360, which is the exact gematria of B'Mashiach. Notice this was a fight against Mashiach. Ba'ish Beloit, in Mashiach, that, and more than that, Vayikshu, it says they approached, Lishboir Hadoles, to break the door. Now, Kabbalistically, mystically, we know that Malchus, which is David HaMelech, he's Malchus, he is called the door. David has, first of all, and that's why David has two Dalids in his name. Dalid means door. Deles is Dalid. The reason why it's called the door, because in the Sphiros, in the attributes, there's 10 attributes, and the final attribute, Malchus, is the attribute through which Hashem actually makes contact with the world. It's where you exit the divine and you enter the creation. Or when the other way as well, when you're exiting the creation and going into the divine, the first level is Malchus. That's when Pischuli Shari Tzedek means open up the gates of Malchus. Tzedek is actually, Malchus is also called Tzedek. It's called Shari, the entrance. Malchus is the Shar, the entrance way. So therefore, Malchus is actually called Petz, the mouth, right? And the mouth is the person's door. Because how do you exit yourself and reach into another human being? Through your mouth, you talk, communication. So Ped, Dalid is Malchus. We also know that the sages say that Gimel, Dalid, Gimel means, Gimel is to give, Dalid is to receive. Gimel Dalim, give to the poor. And Malchus is the final attribute. It's like the moon. It doesn't have anything of its own. It needs to receive. It's a discussion for another class, not right for now. I just want to say that Dalid and Deles, door, is Malchus. They wanted to break the Jewish monarchy. And David HaMelech said about himself, we say it in Tehillim, Arei Mimcha Hashem, I will exalt you, Hashem, Ki Dili Sani. What does it mean, Ki Dili Sani? On the simple meaning, it means you have elevated me. But Kidili Sani, you have made me into a door. Kidili Sani, you have Dalided me. You've made me the Dalid. So Vayikshu Lishboir HaDoles, since they're fighting, this is a war against Mashiach, this is a war against the Davidic kingdom. Vayikshu Lishboir HaDoles, they approached to break the coming of Mashiach. Because this was pure evil fighting to derail the purpose of creation from being realized. Vayishluchu anashim es yadam, the people, vayiviyu es loit aleim, then they brought quickly loit into the house, vesadeles sagaru, and they made sure to lock the door, which means to protect the Dalit. As much as there was an onslaught right over here that night, that very dark night in Sadaim, to break the Dalit, in the end, they locked the door, means they protected the Dalit. Okay, then it continues in Pasuk Yud Beis, vayomru anashim el loit. So now the people, the malachim, say to loit, Oid mi lecha poi. Who else do you have over here? Do you have any other family members? Listen, we're destroying this place. I want to rescue your family. Who else do you have over here? Do you have any sons, daughters? It's interesting that when he mentions over here who else you have as relatives, the first one they mention is, do you have any son-in-laws? Chasan. Do you have a son-in-laws? Banecha sons, b'neisecha daughters, v'chala shalacha ba'ir, and anybody, anything that's with you in the city, hoitzim en amakim. Have them exit, have them leave, because we're going to destroy the land, the city. Isn't it interesting, the first thing you're asking, you have a son-in-law? Son-in-law is a family member, but he's not before your sons and your daughters. How come the son-in-law is mentioned first? And the answer is, when they said over here, chasan, they mean a future chasan. The future chasan is, who's going to come from Loit? Loit has his two daughters. Later, they're going to have children from Loit. It's going to be Ammon and Moav. From Moav is going to come Rus. And Rus is going to marry who? Boaz. That's the point where this lineage of light is going to make its way back, its connection back into the Jewish stream. It's going to connect to Malchus, to descendants of Yehuda. Okay, Mashiach has to come from Yehuda. But on the other end, from the maternal side, it's coming from Rus, from Lot. Where is the point of connection? It's going to be through Boaz, who is a descendant of Yehuda, and he's going to marry Rus. When they said, who is to you over here a chasan, a son-in-law, they mean Boaz. Now, they're hinting to, who else is here? Your chasan, your son-in-law, I mean your future son-in-law, which is Boaz. That's who we're coming to rescue. That's why the word poi, the word before chasan is oid mi lacha poi. Who do you have over here? What's this word poi? What does this mean? Pei poi over here. What's the emphasis on poi? Mi lacha poi. Poi is the Rasha Te, I'm sorry, is the exact, the Balaturim says, the exact gematria of Boaz. Boaz is gematria 85. Ayin Zion, 77. Plus 77 plus Vav, plus another 8. 77 plus 8 is 85. So that's Boaz. Milucha poi. Also, in Megillas Rus, there is 85 psukim. Oid milucha poi. Who do you have over here? This is Megillas Rus, the 85 psukim. That's who we're coming to rescue. Chasen banecho b'neisecha v'chola shalcha be'ir, everything you have in the city, hoitzem en amakim, take out of the place. Because we're destroying the place, okay? So now what happens? It says that suddenly, Lot, even though they're trying to rush him, the Pasuk says, v'yisma mo. And in Pasuk Tezayin, it says that, I'm skipping a few psukim here. After they say what's happening, Lot goes out to speak to his regular son-in-laws. They don't want to come, they're laughing. And then it comes morning, and the malachim are pressuring Lot. Quickly, quickly, we got to go, we got to turn over the city. So in Pasuk Tezayin it says, Vayismama, and he was procrastinating. He was taking his time, he was delaying. Why was Lot delaying? So here's the thing. Lot had this feeling that he's safe. What was the feeling that he's safe? He didn't have to worry because he knew that they can't do anything because he's got this powerful neshama inside of him. So consciously, subconsciously, that's why, I don't know if it was a conscious thought, but the fact that he wasn't rushing was because he knew that he has to live, he has to survive this. That's why it's interesting. It has, on the word Vayismama, there is a shalsheles. The song, the note is shalsheles. It's like, Vayismama, goes like again around and around, shalsheles. What's the shalsheles? Shalsheles means a chain. Vayismama, the reason why he delayed was because he saw that there was a chain coming from him. There's offspring. There is future offspring of Kedusha, very powerful, potent, very powerful offspring. And therefore he figured, you know, he doesn't have to rush because that was his, we're going to see later, that's also the reason why Lot's wife, Vatabet, she turned around and she looked. We know that we're going to see soon that a person is not allowed to look when you're being saved from a situation and it's not in your merit. You're not allowed to look at those that are perishing because you really, chas v'shalom, the person himself, deserve to perish along with everyone else. If you're being saved by your own merit, then you have a right to see the punishment to the others that were punished. Depends. That's why David HaMelech says, Hashem li ba'ozri, if Hashem is helping me because of me, then va'ani ere b'sainoi, then I can see my enemies fall. But if I'm only being saved because of some external reason, then, so the wife of Lot, she looked back because she thought that she's being saved in her merit, because she thought that she has this powerful neshama inside of her. She didn't realize it wasn't her, it was her daughter's. Nothing to do with her. She knew that Lot is still destined to have Moshiach. We'll see that, we'll talk about that soon. But this is the idea over here, Vayismama, that Lot, okay. So he takes them out, where he could see him, Oysam Achutzan. This is a very, very intense moment, you realize over here. Moshiach's neshama has almost been destroyed. And at this moment, he's being saved. Run, don't look behind you. Don't stand on the entire kikar. Run to the mountain, pentisafe. Okay, maybe you, because if you're gonna hang around over here, maybe you're also gonna be killed. So now look in pasuk yudches and yutes. Lloyd says to them, "Al na, please know my masters. Hine na matza avdocha chen beinecha. Your servant found favor in your eyes. Vatagdel chastacha asher asisa imadi. And the kindness that you have done. See what Lloyd is gonna do right now is Lloyd is gonna start asking." The Malachim, to please, they told him to run to the mountain. That means to run to Avram Avinu. Lloyd doesn't want to go to Avram. So therefore, he says, please let me stay in this one city. There's one city. They were supposed to destroy five cities. So Lloyd starts bargaining, and he says, you know what? The four cities, I understand, have reached the utmost of corruption. The fifth city is not so corrupt. Please let me stay around in the fifth city and save the last city from being destroyed. Okay, that's what he's asking for over here. But take a look at the words. His words are, Hine na matza avdocha chein beinecha, your servant found favor in your eyes. Vatagdal chazdocha asher asisa emadi, and the kindness that you have done to me has been so great. You've done great kindness to me. So the sentence I mentioned earlier, some sentences over here are a little clumsy. In the beginning of the sentence, he's speaking about himself in third person. Your servant found favor in your eyes. Then he says, the kindness that you've done imadi with me. He should have said, and the kindness that you've done with your servant. It should continue speaking in third party. Or if he's talking about himself in direct, then he should have said in the beginning, Hine no matzasi, I found chen. Matza ani, I found chen. Not matza avdecha, he found. Matza means he's speaking in third. Suddenly he turns it around that you've done to me. And the answer is like this. What Lloyd is saying is, I understand that I'm not being saved in my merit. Hine na, I understand, matza avdecha, your servant found favor. Who's that? Who's your servant? That's David HaMelech. David HaMelech is called Hashem's servant. Ani avdecha ben amasecha. I'm your servant. Mashiach is called, the Quinty said, a quintessential servant of Hashem. It's this weekend of Torah. It says, V'David avdi nasi lahem le'olam. And David, my servant, which means Mashiach is going to be a king forever. Right? V'avdi David, right? Melech, whatever. So Mashiach, David, are all called avadim. That's what Lloyd is saying. Hine no matza avdecha chen be'enecha. Your servant Mashiach found favor in your eyes. And in his merit, vatagdel chastecha, you increased the kindness, asher asisa imadi, you let me live along with this neshama of David that's inside me, who he is your servant. Lahach yeses nafshi, to enliven my soul. And then he continues, but he says, I don't want to go to the mountain because I'm afraid something is going to happen. Look at the next pasuk chav. He says, "Hine noha ira zois kroiva." The next city is very close. La neshama, v'hi mitzar. It's still its sins are not too great. Imolta neshama. Please let me escape over there. Haloi mitzar hi usachi nafshi. It is a small city, and Rashi explains it means that the city has not yet reached its ultimate. It hasn't sinned to the degree that it has to be punished. Utchi nafshi, and let me live. Meaning, let me stay alive by being in that city. In the end, Lloyd was afraid to stay there. And the Malach, in the end, agrees. He saves the entire city in the merit of Lloyd. In the end, Lloyd is afraid to go there, and they go into the cave. They run away to a cave because they think that that place will also be destroyed. Okay? Take a look at the words, utchi nafshi. The last few words in the pasuk. Mitzar hi usachi nafshi. First of all, the word usachi, and you will enliven, very powerful. You will enliven who? Utachi. The word utachi, remember we spoke about this a couple of months ago. Moshiach ben David is gematria, a very special name of Hashem, which the Kabbalists speak about. It's gematria. The gematria of Moshiach ben David is 424. It's a name of Hashem called Kadat. It's the exact gematria of the words Moshiach ben David. 424. And it says, we brought this from the Magale Amukis, that it's on Mashiach's forehead. It's engraved, this name of Kadat, Tav Chav Dalet. The word Usechi is the exact gematria Tav Chav Dalet. Usechi Nafshi, enliven my soul. See, Tav is 410 is the Yud, 418 plus 6, 424. Usechi Nafshi. There's another thing over here. We know, I mentioned earlier, that there are four legs to the Merkava, four legs to the chariot. What are the four legs to the chariot? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. These are the four legs. But we also know that sometimes instead of David, we replace David with Rachel, Rachel Imenu. Even though Rachel is not the grandmother of David, Leah is the grandmother of David. For whatever reason, I'm not going to get to it. Rachel is also a representation of Malchus. Sfiras HaMalchus is Rachel and David. There's a connection between their neshamas. It says that there's one month of the year that represents the Merkava. And that's why it's a very special month. It's a month that has a special mitzvah every day of the month. And I'm talking about the month of Iyar, which is the month of healing. It's a month of refuah. It's Rosh HaTevis. The word Iyar is Rosh HaTevis. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel, which represent the four legs of the Merkavia, which are associated with the month of Iyar. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rachel. Now, Rachel and David are interchangeable because they both represent the same level. So take a look at the last four letters in the word Mitzar Hi Usechi Nafshi. There's a remez over here. You have the word Iyar, Aleph, Yud, Yud, Resh. Because what he's really saying, enliven my soul, and here you have the full Merkava, is being now saved by the last leg of Hashem's throne. Okay. V'yomer Eilav, so the Malach says, I'm accepting this, I will not turn over the city. Okay, I can't do anything until you come over there. I'm just going to finish with one more idea. There's still quite a few things to say over here, but I just want to finish one more thing. What happened with Lot's wife turning around, becoming salt? So it says, like, the Malach turned to Lot, and told him, please don't look back. Now the question is, why didn't the Malach give this instructions to Lot's wife, only to Lot, and not to the two daughters? Okay, they're running all four together. It says he said to Lot, simply saying he spoke to Lot, and Lot obviously is in charge of his family. But really, there is a deeper reason over here. I mentioned earlier, this is from the Panim Yafis, the Rapinchas of Horowitz, Hafla. So he writes, he says an amazing thing. This is what I was telling you earlier, that when a person is being saved by their own merit, they're allowed to see the destruction happening to others. But if they're being saved just by kindness of someone else, then they're not allowed to, because they deserved, chas v'shalom, the same punishment, so they can't see the punishment of those that are being punished. It says over here that Hashem was saving Lot because of Avram Avinu. Lot was being saved in the merit of Avram. And that's what the Gemara says. That's why Rashi says also, you have no right to see there. But the question is, Lot wasn't being only saved in the merit of Avram. Lot was being saved in the merit of who? Of Mashiach, that's inside of him. Mashiach's neshama is inside of Lot. So it's his own merit. I don't mean his. It's something that's about him, not about Avram. So what does it mean? And the answer is like this. Lot really was not so much anymore a necessary component over here. Lot initially had the neshama of Mashiach, but he had already produced that. He already gave birth to his two daughters. They now contain that spark. It wasn't him. It was them, the two daughters, that had the spark of Mashiach, not so much Lot. Therefore, he says that Lot Lot could have been disposed, and nothing would have. In the end, Lot's the Ammon and Moab are born from Lot having relations with his daughters, the Panim Yafis says that was not necessary. They could have married someone else, and they would have had a child. This neshama would have been there. It didn't have to be Tafka Lot. So therefore, the Malachim are telling Lot, hey buddy, don't make a mistake. Listen here, the Malachim say to Lot. You might be thinking what? That you're being saved because of your own merit. Al tabit acharav. Acharecha. Don't look what's behind you. What do you mean, don't look what's behind you? Don't look. You might see what's behind you. Behind you, meaning you see you're carrying a long chain of great neshamas. You might see Mashiach's neshama connected to you. And as a result of that, you might be of the thinking that you're deserving to be saved on your own merit. And therefore, you're going to turn around and look what's happening. Al tabit acharecha, don't look behind you. Why? Because you've already given born to your two daughters. And therefore, that's why the Lot did not say that to the girls. I'm sorry, the Malach didn't say that to the girls. Because they did have a right to look back. Because they were being saved by their own merit, meaning the merit of the child that's within them. Lot's wife made a mistake. And this was her mistake. It's interesting, when it says that she looked back, it doesn't say she looked achareha, she looked after herself, behind her. She looked acharav, after him, behind him. What does it say after him? Because she saw what's happened, that Lot is going to have, she also had this vision, that Lot was going to have a great dynasty coming from him. And, but that was only from him, not from her. Because she wasn't the player anymore. Okay, she had her daughters, it's gone. Now, she thought, it was her thing. She's thinking like this. She knows that Lot still has this great soul that has to be brought into the world. And she's thinking like, they thought at that time that the whole world was destroyed. There's no human beings alive. There's no more men in the world. So the only man that's alive is Lot. Okay? They thought it's like Noach, the only one that's alive. She knows that Mashiach's neshama has to come. Now she knows it's forbidden. It was one of the seven Noahide laws to have relations with your children, with your daughter. So she's making a cheshbon. Obviously, from where is this neshama going to come from? It's going to come from her. That's why that was her mistake, that she thought that she's still going to father, she's still going to mother a child. And that's going to have, that was her mistake. She turned around and she looked and she turned into salt. It was really going to happen through Lot and his daughters, but that's not what she knew. In any case, this is the element over here of the rescue. Be'ezus Hashem will continue finishing this last element of this story next week. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will go on to... this whole event of the actual birth and Lot with his daughters is really, really a fascinating thing. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, Thursday. Okay. Everybody be well.